Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by no one because we don't do ads here. So welcome. Today's guest is Dave Feasy. Dave Feasy is our certification manager. He handles the day-to-day operations of the certification program. And more difficult in his role is dealing with all of us when we're in the room doing the item rights. Dave's been with Ruckus since 2013, but his interest really got piqued in the certification piece back in 2016 when he attended an item right. Dave's going to share some information about the certification program and what really goes into it, but he's also got some updates about certifications that are coming up soon and also what to expect in the future. Enjoy it. Dave Feasy's here. Dave, thanks for joining. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, you bet. So, certification time. I know that you've had the very distinct displeasure of dealing with me in item rights, and so
hardly a displeasure.
Well, I want to thank you for coming. I know you have some updates and some news about the certification program, which I am personally very excited about. But I think before we get into some of those details, you know, one of the big questions I get, because we get stuck in this mode where, you know, you've been doing this for 10, 20 years, 30 years, and you probably forgotten more than you know at this point. And certifications tend to come up a lot, and there's varying opinions on them. I personally see the value in them. I really do, especially from an industry perspective. I think it really helps set a baseline for folks, and it gives them targets to move towards too. But from your opinion, you know, when you sit down and talk about the certification program, what are some of those talking points that you bring to the table and really show the value add?
Yeah. So, I think it's, you know, I think of it as three C's. So competence, confidence, and credibility. So it applies to the candidates who pass the exam and get the certification. It applies to, the customer knows and can have confidence in, the candidate that they know what they're doing. For our, let's say our partners, they get the value of being able to present, their, staff as being qualified, to install Ruckus ICX switches and access points.
So when you look at the certification models that are out there today, and you bring up good points, right? Competence and qualified, and you know the confidence piece behind that comes with it too. I mean, I've seen people go through the process of preparing for an exam, taking the exam, passing the exam, and there is a different air of confidence about them after that. And, you know, one of the key things that we talk about in item rights is, you know, we try not to use teaching moments. It's we're testing you on your knowledge. We're not trying to teach you something through a test question. And I think that's a really key piece of that, right? So
yeah, we're trying to assess your ability to solve problems at various levels of proficiency. When we set out last year to define the program structure itself, you know, there were a lot of discussions about, do we separate out wired routing and switching from wireless Wi-Fi? What are the proficiency levels? Do we, high stakes certifications that are proctored versus accreditations that maybe are open book and are more appropriate to different audiences? Does that address the question?
Yeah. So when you sit down and look at these things and you say, all right, you don't pull this out of thin air and say, we need to create an exam because we need a certification. It's more granular than that. So what kind of things do you look at and put into it so that people understand how you step through the certification process and what's really behind the creation of each individual cert?
Yeah, so it starts with identifying the job role for the certification. So, for example, our first exam, our first certification coming out, our first high-stakes certification coming out is the Ruckus Certified Networking Associate exam. We're currently in beta with that, and we're going to launch that on to the public. It'll be publicly available on September 21st. So the RCNA, we identify the job role or job roles that, you know, would be associated with that proficiency level for an associate. And then we have a, you know, in future we'll have a professional level, but we're starting at the associate level. So those job roles, we define something called a minimally qualified candidate and identify job roles that are associated with that candidate. So it might be a network administrator or network operator, could be a support person. And then we go about, you know, sort of fine tuning that. What are, you know, what's the knowledge domain? What do they need to, you know, what are the knowledge, skills, and abilities they need? What do they need to be able to know, say, show, and do? And then perform a job task analysis, which, you know, we try to be as comprehensive as possible and in some detail. And those split out into, you know, various competencies. So there's, you know, for our exams, we have industry knowledge and protocols. We have Ruckus product knowledge. We have, you know, designing and planning. We have implementing and configuring a solution. We have managing a solution. We have enhancing and optimizing a solution, and then troubleshooting a solution. So at various different levels, you know, all those tasks fall into one of those broad competencies, and then we build an outline of, you know, all the things that, you know, the subject matter experts, our internal experts who do this day in and day out, who you know well, what they, you know, determine is, you know, what somebody needs to be able to know, say, show, and do in order to perform that job. That makes sense.
Yeah, they're very interesting weeks when you get invited to an item right. It's a ton of fun, don't get me wrong. But it, you get to deal with the emotional ups and downs.
Yeah, so this even comes before the item right. So this is just a, you know, like a paper outline that, you know, details what we're going to assess people on. And then we use that when we go into an item right. And when, you know, when we say item right, people may not be familiar with the term item, but, you know, an assessment question, basically. When we go into an item right, you know, we have this sort of laundry list of tasks that, you know, a person in a job role needs to be able to do. And how do we test that at the appropriate level?
Yeah, and that's important because that way your item writers have something to write towards. So the overall criteria of what's going to be contained within the exam is identified so that you're not just pulling random things out, right, and trying to put that together. And so that's always good. So if I'm in a position I want to go take this exam when it launches on the 21st. And so just so everybody's clear, because when we talk about Ruckus, our product portfolio is really broad. The RCNA is focused on ICX. So
correct.
Fast Iron hardware and software. And then if I want to go take that exam, how do I do that?
Right. So we deliver the exam through, our vendor's name is Zoomorphix, and the platform is called Exam Studio. But I'm in the process of setting up a web page, and we will have a page on our learning management system at training.ruckuswireless.com that will contain links to study materials. We do have a study guide which goes through that blueprint, you know, and what areas are covered, so you know what to study. It'll provide, you know, source references to the training materials and the support materials that, you know, give the knowledge needed to take the exam. So that'll be published both on the CommScope website as well as on training.ruckuswireless.com.
Awesome. So is this something that's a remote proctored, or do you have to go to a test center?
Yes. So we decided, even before the coronavirus took over the world and forced everybody into remote proctoring, we had decided to go and use remote proctoring. So there's some evidence that remote proctoring is actually more secure than for test content than a testing center. Most of what we find where tests find their way out into the wilds of the internet for pay is through testing center employees grabbing a copy of the answer key and publishing that on the internet. So it's actually more secure to go through a remote proctored scenario. So there are some technical difficulties or technical challenges with that. And we're finding out some of those through the beta experience and smoothing those out. But, basically the proctor needs to be able to remote into a candidate's, laptop or desktop and, shut down. If you think about, if I were a test taker who wanted to cheat, I would have maybe a virtual machine running on my machine that I could, pop up somewhere and with with open book information, or I could have post-it notes around. So we, address all those sorts of issues.
That's really interesting that that's more secure to do it that way. And I guess when you have that underlying remote session into the student's machine, it kind of gives you an understanding of what's running on it and what they're doing to ensure that nothing fishy is going on, right? That's interesting.
Yeah, and the proctors don't have access to the answer key. So it's, it's not even a single point. There's no point where, whereas in a test center, you actually have to install the answer key on the machines and, somebody's got to install it, so.
Very interesting. Well, that's good to know. So yeah. if you're new to it, because I haven't taken a proctored exam before. I'm sure a lot of people that are listening have. But when you do that, what does that look like? What should they expect by going through a proctored vendor?
Sure. So we have a document that we send out to everybody called exactly that, what to expect. You'll have to have a camera and a microphone that works. You'll have to present a valid government ID. Your picture will be taken and your session will be recorded. Both your camera and your desktop will be recorded. So you'll go in through the exam studio portal to schedule your exam. And you need to schedule 72 hours in advance. So, you can't go in the day of and schedule your exam. You'll get an email notification saying that, you've scheduled for this exam. Here's the time. At that time, you need to go back into Exam Studio and, go into your dashboard and click on the, there's a start exam. There's a countdown timer, and then that'll, when it gets down to zero, it'll turn into a start exam link. You click on that, and then there's the integration with the proctor. We'll start up that process and send you over to the proctor's website where you can test your equipment. One of the things we've found out is that for Mac users, if you're on Catalina, which I think is the latest release of Mac OS X. There's a new security feature that you have to grant access to Chrome or Firefox for screen recording.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of a pain in the butt in that OS.
Yep. So then you'll install LogMeIn Rescue, which is the third party, you know, support tool. You'll have to grant remote access to the proctor, and the proctor will go through and run some scripts to, you know, check that you don't have a VM running on your machine, and check for other, you know, applications and settings, and they'll go through and they'll, you know, they'll turn stuff on and off. They'll have to enter a proctor code to begin the exam. And then there's some front matter to the exam. So the exam taker will get a welcome screen. They'll get a little tutorial on how to go through the exam, how to answer questions. You can, the questions are split up into sections. And so you can, you know, there's 12 questions in the first section in this RCNA exam, 24 in the second section, 24 in the third section, for a total of 60 questions. At the end of each section, you get a chance to review each one of the questions, and then you submit from there. You can highlight within the questions. You can mark them for review and go back later. So there are some nice built-in tools to the exam taking experience. And then, you know, you go through, finish the exam, the proctor will come back on and submit the exam, entering a password again, and you will get you'll get your score right at the end of the exam, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're granted the credential. So we go through and review every session and make sure that, you know, and there are some nice AI sort of features to the remote proctoring, like they'll record eye movements and sound levels. And, you know, if somebody comes into the room and you turn your head and you start talking to somebody, that's a yellow flag, you know, and there are various red flags. Where a proctor will actually intervene and say, like, you can't do that. You can't look at your phone. You can't talk to somebody.
That's good to know. Yeah. That helps protect it. I mean,
yeah. So this is a serious thing. I mean, this is a serious exam. And, you know, we want to make sure that these credentials are legally defensible certifications, that they will stand up in the industry. And, that, you know, if somebody challenges the validity of the certification for whatever reason, we have a lot of supporting evidence that says, you know, this is a valid, reliable exam.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to kind of point out something with that too. I've been in item rights for the better part of 10 years. And, you know, the folks in education, we've been a part of this group for a long time. And so everybody understands the process in terms of building it and what it has to be built like. So the legal defensibility thing that you bring up is, it's crucial. And I think people need to understand that when they do go take these exams, that question, it goes through at least three or four people's brain the second we review an item, because we have to make sure that everything in that question is not only completely accurate, and it's also completely defensible. So there's a lot of care that goes into that. And people, I guess you could say it's a passion in a way, but people get passionate about it because they want to make sure it's right. It's the mm-hmm. one thing that we do that you just can't get wrong. I mean, there's really negative ramifications to it, and it's unfair to the test taker when you end up in that position. So, and you've done an amazing job of keeping that in that lane and making sure that it's there as well. So yeah, anybody that's ever wondering, there's a ton of thought and care that goes into each item.
And that is a process. I mean, you have been involved with the, you know, 4-day hunt, write 150 questions with 20 people in the room, and then review it all. And that it is intense. I mean, we go through rewrites, you know, we check to make sure that, you know, does it fit? Is it congruent to the blueprint? Is it accurate? Is it, you know, at the right level of, difficulty? And then, you know, even after the fact, so right now I am with the beta version of this exam, we're getting responses from actual test takers who match the minimally qualified candidate profile. And so we can, you know, I'm analyzing the statistics on each one of the questions to see if, you know, this question is the right level of difficulty. Do, you know, does it actually, you know, test such that people who have the skill or the knowledge are, you know, are scoring better than people who don't have the skill or the knowledge, right? And so there's statistical analysis that goes in after the fact. Or, you know, I'm seeing some questions where, you know, everybody gets it right or everybody gets it wrong. And so there's something about that question that needs to be reviewed or it needs to be thrown out. So by the time we get to, you know, general availability of the exam on the 21st, it's gone through layers and layers and layers of review, and it's really fine tuned at that point.
Don't throw any of my questions out. I worked really hard on them.
No, I know. we'll see.
That's, you know, it's one of those things where, like you said, you get into a room of 20 people and you're going through this, and the fact that you can walk out of that room on Friday and you're still friendly with everybody is a testament to the process in itself. So I know, so RCNA is it's a big deal and it's a big stepping stone. So when we look at where certification is going in the future,
yep.
Are there things that you have on your radar now that you're looking at that you can talk about, or is that still TBD?
Yeah. So, you know, we're launching the Wired Networking Associate exam in September. Next, we'll be looking at the RCWA, the Ruckus Certified Wi-Fi Associate, right? And that's a little bit more challenging just because, you know, there's a lot, it's a lot broader product portfolio for us. You know, and there's and we drafted the initial, we did the initial job task analysis almost 18 months ago, and the industry moved so fast that, you know, that's out of date. So we have to go through that process again. So that one, we're looking at first quarter of 2021 to launch the RCWA. So then we'll have both wired and wireless covered. After that, we'll be looking at a professional level, which will include much more on the plan and design and you know, enhance, optimize, troubleshooting side of things. But there's, you know, there's a lot of work to do still on the RCWA. Also, we have these low stakes accreditations that are, you know, currently are available through the LMS. I'm going to move those on to the Exam Studio platform as well, so we get that same level of, you know, detailed reporting and analytics, you know, record keeping, single source of truth about candidates for accreditations as we have for certifications. But they'll continue to be low stakes, open book accreditations. And so I need to go through and review our existing accreditations. We're going to update, you know, there's a smart zone accreditation currently that is a little bit long in the tooth at this point. So, and we're, you know, a new version of smart zone will be coming out shortly. So we'll want to rewrite that exam. And that, those are typically shorter exams, 30 or 40 questions. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. And then, you know, we have new products and new lines coming up all the time. There's a lot of interest in IoT and in cloud and analytics and all of the new cool stuff that we're putting out.
Yeah, I mean, as fast as technology moves, you're always going to be shuffling no matter what. I mean, that's just the nature of it, right?
Yep.
So do you think that things will get to a point to where, because I mean, certification is something that has to build, one has to build upon the other.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to build a pathway into that. Do you see, you know, an appetite or a direction towards creating something that is more of a solution-based type of certification where you're bringing the wired and wireless products together and you're working through those pieces?
Yeah, I think that's also been discussed a lot. Again, when we originally designed the program, it, you know, sort of made sense at the time to split into wired and wireless. But as those things converge and as we, you know, even tie in with more of the traditional CommScope product line, I think there will be opportunities for, you know, maybe specializations in vertical markets, maybe. You know, so you had Chris on from the federal business a couple of weeks ago, and they've been, you know, one of our great champions internally to get this going. So maybe there's a, you know, a federal solutions opportunity or a smart cities opportunity, or but that's all very early stages at this point.
Yeah, Fed and DoD is definitely a driver of the business for sure. I mean, they dictate so many things within the industry, and rightfully so. I mean, it's there's a lot of information out there, and they have a lot of things going on.
Yep.
Yeah, Chris is an interesting guy. It was fun talking to him for sure, and it's been a great pleasure talking to you as well. I don't know. Is there anything else you need to throw out there? I know you said September 21st, the RCNA goes GA. All of the information will be on training.ruckuswireless.com.
That's correct.
Awesome. I know I speak for myself and I speak for a lot of other people. People that have been involved with this process understand how painstakingly difficult it can be. So, you know, and I don't say that to say it's like, oh, this is such a pain in the butt thing. It takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of time. And it takes a lot of care and feeding and brain power that goes into it. So I think I speak for everybody when we say thank you, because you've done a heck of a job with it. So we appreciate it.
Oh yeah. My pleasure. I mean, it's a fascinating, it's a fascinating thing. I mean, it touches on all kinds of, skill sets. And it's actually sort of a nice capstone. I've been in learning and performance for 24 years now, I guess. And, you know, I've just learned so much over the last year and a half, taking on this role. So I greatly appreciate the opportunity to come on the Ruckcast and chat with you here for a few minutes. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. And when RCWA is ready, you're going to come back. We'll talk about that and we'll definitely get some information out about it as well.
Very good.
Awesome. Dave, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, you bet. Thanks. See you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Ruckcast. If you just found us for the first time, be sure to follow or subscribe on your platform of choice so you can be notified of future episodes. If you have ideas for future episodes or can't find Ruckcast on your favorite platform, contact us at ruckcast@comscope.com. And as always, thanks for listening.